guarantee it, my daughter's going to be either the best or the worst in the class. This. Amen. Now, last week we started talking about, you know, turn of the year, and how's 2020 doing for you? Have you gotten to writing it down pretty easily, right? And make that transition to the new year. But really, the call to go forth and stop carrying our baggage around, and you really use this as an opportunity to really turn the page on our lives and some things we need to resolve. And really taking this out of Philippians. It said, "Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." The end year, not that I've arrived, I'm nowhere near perfect. And the Lord's still working on me. But not to be discouraged and quit, but to press on. And that's really the goal for this year, is to press on. Lord, help me be faithful no matter what. Right? Whether this is a good year, whether this is a tough year, Lord, help me to be faithful and press on no matter what. Because something better is around the corner. And Lord, I know I have you in all these things, and that changes everything. And last week we talked about the idea of unforgiveness. And I told you guys last week that this was supposed to be, I was going to cram this all into 1 week, and it got stretched out. And because we talked about the idea of forgiveness, and in here the need that we have to forgive. You know, doesn't matter if it's big or small, if there are things that you're carrying around, there's bitterness that sinks in. And unforgiveness is just like a cancer that rots away at you. And it worms its way in. And the longer you hold it, the harder it is to get rid of. And in here, to say this year, you know what? I'm going to forgive. And, you know, last week we went through the list of things. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean whatever happened was wrong, right? It doesn't mean whatever happened didn't hurt. It doesn't do all those things. What that does is relieve you. That says, look, I'm not going to hold that grudge anymore. Now, in here, I'm going to turn it over to God. I'm not going to seek out vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I'm not going to try to repay. But I'm going to release that payment out. And I'll tell you, it is an amazing thing when that happens. In our lives, you know, there's been hurt in my life and struggles I've had in my life. And probably the most amazing thing that has happened sometimes is what the Lord changes, and sometimes it turns that pain and that bitterness. And what I find oftentimes is God replaces that. And sometimes the very people who have hurt me, that now I feel sorry for them. The Lord's given me a heart of compassion for that person. Because I don't carry that grudge anymore. I've let it go. And they still have to carry that responsibility for what they've done. Right? And whether or not they've asked me for forgiveness, I mean, I was going to say probably if I were to go back into life and sit, talk about the people who have hurt me the most, who have harmed me the most, those are people who have not, I know, have not asked my forgiveness. But you know what? I still have to give it. I need to free myself from carrying that. And the Lord does a really amazing thing. He can transform that hatred into compassion. And now some of these people, I feel bad for them. Which is an amazing thing, because I never thought I'd be in that place. And then, is there someone that I need to ask forgiveness from? Right? Is there something that I've done in my life that I've hurt someone else? And that I need to say, you know what, I'm sorry. That sweeping it under the rug doesn't always make that stuff go away, right? You know, there's things in my life I had to go back for years that I had to apologize for. And, you know, my job, I can pack up and I can move. And I'm, oh, well, I'll just move to somewhere else and start all over. And yet you leave a whole string of hurt behind. I was in a church, and a lady started to come, and she had been in that church years and years and years ago, and she came, and she saw what was going on in the church. She was excited. She goes, "Oh, Pastor, I want to join the church." I'm like, "Great. Oh," I said, "I saw you were a member before." I said, "Why'd you leave?" And she's like, "Well, so-and-so did something to me." I was like, "Oh, okay." I said, "And have you worked all this all out?" Because years had gone by. I mean, we're talking, you know, decades. And she's like, "No." And you ever talk to someone and all of a sudden it's like, it's all fresh again? Right? And so all of a sudden she was just like, "Yeah." And that, oh, she said, we were in the study and she said this thing and she really hurt me and I never came back and never, you know? And I'm like, "Well, the lady sits 20 feet from you every Sunday." I said, "Have you worked it out?" She goes, "No." And you can just tell she was just, I said, "Well, would you be willing to?" And of course, you know, when a pastor asks you that, she's like, "Well, yeah, I suppose." I'm like, "All right." I said, "I'll tell you what, I'll set it up." So I went to the other lady and I said, "You know, so-and-so's been coming to church." She goes, "Oh yeah, I'm so excited she's coming to church. We haven't seen her for a long time." I said, "Well, you know she's holding a grudge against you." She's like, "For what?" And I explained the situation. She's like, "Oh, I had no idea." She goes, "I had no idea that I..." I said, "Well, would you be willing to get together and work it out?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." And so, you know, I feel like I'm in high school all over again. So I go back and I said, "Look, she'd love to go talk to you." And she's like, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Now, to be honest," I said, "she doesn't even remember the event." Which is probably the wrong thing to say because all of a sudden she got livid. And she goes, "She doesn't even remember the thing that hurt me the most in my whole life. She doesn't even remember how insensitive her." And she goes, you know, she's just getting fuming. I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." "But yeah, but she wants to ask forgiveness." "Well, I can never forgive her." I'm like, "Whoa." I said, "Why are you carrying this?" I mean, for decades, she was carrying this around and every, let it go. She goes, I said, "You know, glad to have you come to church." I said, "We can't allow you to become a member and bring that bitterness into the body. If you want to work it out, praise God. We're here to help you do right, but this isn't good for you." She goes, "Well, I'm not coming to your church ever again." And she left, she picked up her bitterness and went. And here the person was willing to do what was necessary to work, right? Look, if I've done something wrong, I need to go back and do it. Sometimes it's just acknowledgments. Maybe there is some reconciliation. Maybe there is something you need to do, you know? Ask, what do I have to do to make this right? But don't carry that around this year. So we talk about the idea of unforgiveness. Picking up this week, something that we don't want to carry around in this year, leave your shame and your guilt behind. Leave your shame and guilt behind. Now, I've only been here for 3.5 years, and so I've only known you guys for a very short period of time. Some of you are more recent here, so I've only known you for a little bit. You know, from my perspective, I look out, you guys are a fine-looking group. You guys are a group of people who've never had any problems, never had any issues, right? God's people said amen? If you are a little shaky on that. How many of you guys have done things in your past that you're embarrassed of? You got a few honest people. How many of you are like, "Pastor, I'm never going to raise my hand"? No, right? It's like, you know what? We've all done things. We've all thought things. And they weigh us down, and we carry these things. And sometimes what we've done, we've disqualified ourselves, and we're like, "Lord, how could you ever love me?" You know, I can't tell you how many people I've gone and invite to church and say, "Oh, come on." And you go, I God doesn't want me there. He goes, "You know, you don't know what I've done. You know what? I don't want to know what you've done. I really don't." But we carry around so much guilt and so much shame that robs us of our joy. It robs us of our effectiveness of what the Lord can do in us. In here, God says, move on. The Bible's real clear. We talk about these things. It's talking about when we come to Christ. It says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When we give our lives to Christ, accept him as our Lord and Savior, he comes in and he transforms us. That, you know, that was the old John. That's not the new John. I don't have to be what I used to be. My desires are different. My ambitions are different. I'm not that person anymore. I'm a new person in Christ. And he calls us. I love in the scriptures that he gives us, you know, these people new names. Simon becomes Peter. Saul, a murderer, becomes Paul the apostle. Now, I didn't transform my name. I'm John, and I was John, and I'm still going to be John. But inside, he changes us. And you know what? It's not fair because he has forgiven me. For me, the new John, be dragging around this old John all over the place. And I know so many people over the years who spend so much time and energy either trying to cover up, you know, trying to bury all the skeletons in the closets. And it's a heavy burden. Try to pretend to be something that you're not. Now, growing up, I don't even know if the show, I don't even know if I should say this, because I don't know if it's a good show or not. Watch them. But on PBS, when we lived up north, we had, you know, Canadian TV, and then we had, like, PBS. And there used to be a British show called Keeping Up Appearances. Man, mentioned that, all of a sudden we got revival. All right. And the whole premise of the show is, you know, she wants to be all hoity-toity and be accepted in, but she kind of comes from a lower class of people. Is that a fair way to do it? And the whole show is she's trying to keep her friends not knowing what she really is. And we spend a lot of time and energy kind of doing that, right? Oh, I'm this wonderful, perfect Christian. You know, I've never done anything wrong. And look how, you know what? And that just turns people off. Or the other side is people who mope, who turn around and says, woe is me, and they're kind of like Eeyore. Well, I didn't want to do it anyway. God could never love me. And we disqualify ourselves right out of the gate. Instead of embracing the new life we have in Christ, that he has forgiven us, there's nothing that you can do in your past that isn't covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you something, because where does all this come from? And we need to realize that as a Christian now, I'm living this new life that I have, and we hear sort of these voices in our head, these doubts and these fears that haunt us. Revelation tells us, it says, look, and then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Revelation, right? I encourage you to come out tonight. We go into the study of Revelation. And it's kind of a roll up our sleeves, and it's a good study. We have no timetable. Have a good discussion. But in this part of Revelation, what happens is Satan gets kicked out of heaven. And right now, Satan is allowed to go up. We see this in the book of Job. And he comes up, and one of the jobs that Satan is doing is he is accusing the brethren. And Satan, that old rat, you know what he loves to do? He loves to run up to heaven and say, God, do you know what John did? Do you know what kind of guy he is? Oh, he's a rotten no good. Do you know what kind of family he came up from? And he accuses, and that voice that often we hear isn't from God, but it's from the enemy who wants to stop you, who wants to even stop you from trying by discouraging you along the way. The flip side of this First John tells us, it says, little children, these things have I written to you so that you may not sin. And if everyone sins, right? Look, he says, look, John is writing these things. And he's encouraging, look, here are things you're not supposed to do. And it's really kind of unpopular in the church today, right? All you want to hear is, look, God loves you, and just love him back, and you can do whatever you want as long as you love Jesus. And the Bible doesn't say that. It says, because I love him, there's things I don't do. There are things that God says are sin. There is right and there is wrong. And God wrote the book, and some of these things apply, and how do we work it all out? And so John says, look, I'm writing you these things because there's some things you don't want to do. I don't want you to sin. But if you do, right? I'm glad you put that in there because, right? I would probably guarantee, probably already this morning, you have a sin or two under your belt. But if you do sin, it says what? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not of ours only, but also for the whole world. That he is the propitiation. What that means is he satisfied all the requirements. We sing the old hymn, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. The propitiation means that he paid for every little bit. There's nothing left behind. Right? So there's nothing I can do to earn my salvation. Jesus paid it all. He's the propitiation. That's a good word. Throw it out at parties. You really impress people. All it means is all the requirements has been satisfied. There's nothing left for you to earn it anymore. I'm not good because, well, I'm not good. That's a whole other statement. But right? But I don't do what I do because I need to earn my salvation. There's nothing I can do. The Bible says all our righteousness are as filthy rags, right? The best I can do doesn't meet the test. But Jesus paid for it all. And there's nothing left for me to do. And so he's the righteous. So picture this scene up in heaven. Right? Then in here we have Satan the accuser. Who comes up and says, oh, what? You know what John's past is? You know what he did when he was 12 years old? You know his 20s? Ha ha, if you knew. Right? And he whispers those things in my ear. Who are you? You know, think of it. You know, as a pastor, I'm up here, I'm sharing, I'm preaching the word of God, and I'm trying to be faithful to that. And I have those doubts because the enemy's there saying, John, who are you to tell these people anything? Oh man, if they really knew what you were thinking right now, right? Who are you? And I'm like, yeah. Why even try? You know, I find it so interesting that so many times when people are going through things, one of the first things that happens is they drop out from church. The enemy's already half won. Right? That's when I need the body of Christ. That's when I need the encouragement. I need to have people around me that love me. I do. And not some phony baloney type of churchy, you know. I used to have a professor in school call it sloppy agape. You know, that kind of gushy type of, right? But people who truly know and still like you, who will still encourage you along the way. Now, years ago, we had a gentleman who cheated on his wife. And he was working on getting restored to his wife. And he said he had a real problem with, because he goes, I don't know who in church knows. There's some people that know. And his wife had talked to some of her friends in the church for support. And he goes, Pastor, he goes, I'm thinking about going somewhere else. He goes, I'm going to go somewhere else where no one knows my history or no one knows my past. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to go and worship. And I don't have to worry about whatever people all know. And I told him, I said, you know, you could. You could go find a church where no one knows anything about you. You can sit down and worship and get up and leave. I said, or you can sit in a church of some of the people who know what you've done, who love you anyways, who are praying for you, who are encouraging you, who want you to succeed in your Christian life. I said, you know what? The second one sounds like a better deal to me. Right? But what happens is the enemy comes in and accuses us and whispers in our ear, tells us, who are we? We're not qualified. Oh, you know what? You failed. You know what? You tried this again. You tried to read your scriptures. You tried to pray. You tried to be faithful. But you know what? You fell flat. You failed last time. Why even try again? Right? Why even bother? But see, on the other side, we have Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Bible says, who turns around and says, you know what? I paid for that. You know his failure? You know his shame? Jesus is like, that's all paid for. It's all covered underneath the blood, saying you got no ground to stand on. You know what? Yeah, John, you did fail. You did let me down. But you know what? I'm able to keep him from falling. I have forgiven him for his failures, and I uphold him with my hands. And I love him anyways. Do you see how that works? Now, and oftentimes, I mean, I grew up with, you know, watching Looney Tunes, and I always picture, you know, the guy standing there, all of a sudden you got the little angel and the little devil on the shoulders. Right? And that's not a good dynamic, because what that kind of depicts is they're equal. Can I tell you something? Satan is no equal to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan can't stand around. He flees. We see in Revelation, he gets booted out of heaven. He got nothing to stand on. Jesus paid for it all. Satan, there's nothing that he can accuse me in my life that Jesus says I am greater than. Right? Why should I come into the presence of God? Because God, Jesus Christ, has asked me to come in. I'm not here on my own volition. I'm here by the grace of God, which is greater than all my sins. Right? I'm not here because of what I've done. You're not here because of what God, what you deserve. You're here because of what God has done for you. Cast out those doubts. Cast out that shame. Cast out that guilt. If you have asked forgiveness, it is gone. It is in the past. And God's calling you to greater things. Romans chapter 8, actually I should have put the verse in this. It says, there is no condemnation now of those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what? You got your Bibles. I know you got them here. But even if your Bibles, grab your Bibles. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. If you mark your Bibles and all that, this is a great verse for you to realize. If you struggle with shame, if you struggle with guilt, if you struggle with your past, this is your verse. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Jesus paid for it all. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has come into your life and forgiven you of everything you have ever done in your life. Sink that in for a minute. Mark it. Highlight it. Memorize it. If Satan has been kicking you around, you know what? Kick him back. Because there is therefore no condemnation now. It's all under the blood. Don't drag it. Don't bring it into this year. Move on. Press on by the authority of the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. The last thing I want you to encourage you to leave behind is your sin. Now, the shame and guilt that we talk about are things that you've done in the past that you've asked forgiveness for. That's all history now. But maybe there's some things in your life that you're struggling with right now. There's habits that you're still engulfed in. Maybe there's things that you're still watching, things you're listening to, maybe still things you're doing in your life that you know are displeasing to God. Use this turning of the calendar, if you will, as an opportunity to say, you know what? I'm giving it up. I'm giving it up. The Bible says, he who knows right and does it not, to him into sin. We all wrestle with sin. We all have different areas. And you know the area in your life that, you know what? I've been hanging on to. There's an area in my life that I haven't given over. I haven't surrendered to God. I like to tell the folks that sin is like a baby alligator. I remember young enough, we'd go down to the Minnesota State Fair, and you can win little alligators as prizes. And I never won a baby alligator. I was totally displeased. My mother was very happy. But I knew some friends that won baby alligators. And they tried to keep them and hide them and feed them. And the thing is, little baby alligators don't stay little baby alligators for long. And of course, we always heard stories about people flushing them and that there are 40-foot alligators in the sewers, which never made me want to go sit down in a public restroom. Now that I think about that, it's probably an irrational fear, but it's still kind of there. I always look before I sit down, making sure that, you know, someone's maybe, right? But it doesn't say little. Sin doesn't say little, doesn't say cute. Sin destroys, it will devour you. And the longer you hang on to it, the deeper roots it has in you, the more destructive force it will have in your life. And this year, give it up. Hebrews encourages us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And maybe there's been a sin you've been carrying around for too long, and it's time to come clean. It's time to confess it and say, God, you know what? I don't want this anymore. Change the appetite that I have for it. Change my desire for it. Because I know, Lord, it doesn't please you. I know it's harmful, not just to me, but those around me, those that are influencing me. It's just a weight that I'm just carrying around. And this year, I don't want to carry it anymore. First John chapter 1, verse 9 is the great eraser verse of the Scriptures. So we all know why there's an eraser on a pencil, because we all make mistakes. Because when we make mistakes, and we do. Actually, the Bible says if anyone says that they don't sin, guess what? You're a liar. And one of the things over the years I've been criticized on, Pastor, you know, you put down yourself too much. I'm just being honest. You know, I could tell you how wonderful and perfect I am and how holy I am. And the problem is I have a wife here who lists every fault I have. I'd have no credibility. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That when we sin, we can come forth. And 1 John tells us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we will bring our sin before him and say, Lord, and the word confess means to agree with, right? The most powerful thing we can do in our lives is have God agree with us, and we turn around and agree with him that, you know what, this is wrong. I see this from your point of view. And Lord, I know you're not happy. And Lord, I know I've been hanging on to this. And it says, look, if I confess that, it says he will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is nothing that you can do that will separate you from the love of God. But that area in your life, that thing you're hanging on to, you know God's not pleased with it. And maybe for years you've been balancing it out. Maybe you're saying, well, God, I'll serve you with this hand, but this is mine. And God says, you know what? I want, you know, I'll even get together with the kids and, you know, I'll have something and, you know, pick a hand. And they'll say, oh, this hand. Okay, nothing here. He goes, well, it's in the other hand. Well, no, it's right. You ever done that with your kid? You know, and they're not stupid. They're like, oh, no, it's in the other hand, right? But we can do that with God. God's like, look, I've been working on you. I've been trying to convict you of this. And you're like, well, there's nothing there. God's like, you know, your other hand. There's nothing there. You know? And you're like, I'm fooling God. No, you're not. You're not even fooling yourself. This could be the year where you say, you know what, I'm giving it up. I'm surrendering. Think of the old hymn. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I give. Right? This year, give more to Jesus than you had before. Let the light of Jesus shine on all corners of your life and of your heart. And he will forgive you. Romans tells us, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? In the light of the forgiveness he has offered, why do we keep going back to the sin that has entrapped us? And I understand, because sometimes change is hard and sometimes it's scary. And to be granted, sometimes our sin is pretty comfortable. You know, I have a few clothing items in the house that my family's like, you're not wearing that in public. I hang on to them. Why? Because they're comfy. Right? They're worthless. They're stained. They're ripped. They're holy. But I don't want to give it up. We had this little boy who used to come to church, and he had a little blanket. And the boy was a little older than he should have a little blanket. But man, his mom was like, I can't get rid of it. And it stunk. Oh. And she goes, over the years, what she did was she cut it smaller and smaller. And she goes, probably by the time he's in college, he'll be able to put it in his pocket. You know, it's funny because you look at that, you say, oh, you know, come on. At what point should he give this up? Well, let me ask the same thing about your sin. You know, as Christians, you can say, oh, I'm forgiven. Yeah, you are. You're telling me, Pastor, that I can still have this sin and still go to heaven? Yeah, you can. Oh, well, I'm going to hang on to it. No. Put it away. Confess it and leave it. And press on. Let this year be that year. You say, well, what if I stumble along the way? Well, guess what? You confess it and move on. He will forgive and he will help you and he will encourage you. But surrender it. Surrender it this year. You know, let 2020 be the year we stop carrying our baggage around. And may every calendar year has come and you've been carrying around the same stuff. I heard a lady, she was doing a devotion. And she goes, you know, she goes, I'm not a fancy speaker. She goes, put it this way. There are some things in the toilet of your life that you just need to flush. And I'm like, you know what? That's a disgusting image. But you know what? It's probably true. You know, maybe there's some forgiveness issues that we just need to move on from this year. Maybe there's some things from your past that you've been carrying around for way too long. Let this be the year. Maybe there's some sin issues. There's some weight that you've been carrying around. And this is the year, Lord, deliver me from it. Release me from the bonds of sin. And He will. Let me tell you, if you don't, you'll be drugged down. You will fall short of the blessings He has in store for you. But if you do, all the freedom, the weight, they'll be lifted as we turn to Him. And I'm so thankful that we have a body of Christ, we have a church, that we are all in here together to encourage and strengthen along the way. Brothers and sisters who will pray for us, will love us, despite our shortcomings, all for the honor and glory of God. Let's pray. Our dearly Father, Lord, we thank You. And we praise You, Lord, for who You are and what You have done. Lord, no one in this room deserves Your mercy and Your grace, but Lord, You give it. Lord, help us to forgive. Help us to seek forgiveness. Lord, help us to put away the shame and the past and press on. Lord, help us to surrender our sin and walk in newness of life with You. Lord, we can't do it on our own. We thank You that You have done it all. We just need to surrender. Lord, we ask these things in Your name. Amen.